Amen. We thank God for you, Sister Hodge. Amen. And giving us that wonderful doxology as well as the announcements. We praise God for you. Amen. Let us turn our attention to the Bible on this Sunday morning. Let us turn our attention to the Word of God. We're going to come from Mark, the second chapter, beginning at the first verse, Mark 2. If you have your Bible, get your Bible, open it up so you know what's on my screen. It's what's written. If you don't, you can look at it on the screen. We're highlighting the New King James Version. And we appreciate all that are visiting with us today for the Word of God. Mark left it on record in the second chapter saying, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when he could not come nigh unto him, for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick and the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto them, the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doeth thus man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned with themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way unto thine house. And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Amen. Let me say that last line again. We never saw it on this fashion. Amen. We're going to talk about dedicated faith this morning. Dedicated faith. Not just any kind of faith, but dedicated faith. Not just normal faith, but dedicated faith. What is dedicated faith? Faith is a faith of dedication. When you dedicate and you're committed to getting something done, when you know that there's a goal in mind and you dedicate yourself and work toward that goal in the hopes that you will reach that goal. That's dedicated faith. You have a faith where there's something that is beyond your reach, and you know nobody can do it but God, but your hope is in God, and you're putting that action of faith to action in the hope that God will help you to achieve and to receive that goal, whatever it could be. It could be material, it could be spiritual, it could be mental, it could be relationship, it could be financial. It doesn't matter the goal. It doesn't matter how small, it doesn't matter how big, it doesn't matter how wide, it don't matter how far, it don't matter how close. But if you dedicate yourself, you're putting the work in, you're putting the effort in, you're putting the energy toward that goal with the hope that you're going to receive it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence thing of things not seen. You can't see it, but you're hoping that it will take place. You're committing yourself to take place, and you're putting so much time and energy toward that goal. To achieve that goal is dedicated faith. It's not just simple faith. It's faith of commitment. It's faith of belief. It's faith of structure. It is faith of commanding that something is going to happen. Do you got dedicated faith? If there's somebody that I'm talking to this morning have some dedicated faith, there's something that you want in life. There's something that you want in your spiritual life. There's something that you want in your financial life. There's something that you want in your relationship life. There's something that you want in your career life. There's something that you want in your church life. There's something that you want in your business life. There's something that you want in your health life. There's something that you want, and you want it, and you're working toward that goal, that dedicated faith. You're dedicated to it's happening to you. That is what we're speaking on today. That is what we're committed to today. That is what we're focused on today, is dedicating faith. Well, what do the man with palsy being healed by Jesus have to do with dedicated faith? What is it that Jesus said? What is it that Jesus did? What is it that the man did and his friends did for him to create dedicated faith? And my brothers and my sisters, I say this scripture all the time because it resonated with me years ago and it still resonates with me today. Paul wrote things that are written aforetime is for our learning. It is not the purpose of reading scriptures and passages and verses and chapters and books of the Bible to just be reading them. It does no good just to read through them and not get an understanding. It does no good to read through them and not get anything out of it. It is for our understanding. It is for our learning. It is for our education, and it's okay to understand what happened to Peter and happened to Paul. It's okay to understand what David went through. It's okay to understand the cry of Isaiah. It's okay to understand the agony of Zephaniah. It's okay to get all of that, but how can you apply it to you? How can you take on those life lessons that is left for us to learn and apply it to the life that we live today, that we can walk and talk and live in a different light, in a different way, that we may grow in the grace of God, and not only grow in his grace, but to get closer to him and be a better person, a better individual, a better citizen, a better co-worker, a better leader, a better wife, a better husband, a better family member, a better communicator, but most of all, a better saint of him. How can we do these things? Well, we first have to look at the context of the scriptures and understand what is taking place, and then how does it resonate with us? How does it commands us to do different? How it commands us to be different? How it commands us to walk different? How does the scripture tells us to be what it is we ought to be? Well, can I help somebody this morning? Jesus, Mark is telling us today that Jesus had entered into Capernaum, and it said it was noise that he was in the house. It got out that he was in the house. It got out that he was in the house. Now, this may have been the house of Andrew or Peter, where he often went, and somebody gave word. You know, somebody told somebody that told somebody. Amen. Somebody, you know, shared the information that Jesus was in the house. And it's good to know that Jesus is in the house. It's good to hear that Jesus is in the house, because when you hear that Jesus is in the house, we ought to respond. Amen. And when we respond, the Bible tells us that they, and straightway many were gathered together. When Jesus is in the house, amen, you ought to be able to gather. You ought to be able to come together. And right now, we might not be in one single house. We might be in our individual houses, but we're gathered together on the internet. We're gathered together on Facebook. We're gathered together on Twitter. We're gathered together on Twitch. We're gathered together on YouTube. We're gathered together, and we come into the place because Jesus is in the house. When Jesus is in the house, we are together. Somebody say gather together, gather together. Let's get together. Let's get it together. Let's get it together. And the Bible says, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. It was so much that they were standing. It was a house party, amen. And it was so many people that came to the house party. They filled the house, and there was people all out in the yard. Amen. They couldn't get in. It was no room to receive them. It says not so much as about the door. You couldn't get in the door because it was so many people trying to get in the house where Jesus was. And it says, and he preached the word unto them. He preached the gospel unto them. He preached to them. And while he was preaching, amen, the word of God coming from God was being preached in the house, and it attracted so many, amen, that it was a crowd that you just couldn't get to them. You couldn't get through the thickness. You couldn't get through the press. You couldn't get through the crowd. And I like this. I like this because I recognize when you're preaching the word and not opinion, when you're preaching Jesus and not how I feel, when you're preaching Jesus and not trying to preach down on folks, when you're preaching Jesus and not trying to throw rocks at people, when you're preaching Jesus, I just understand that there's so many come to hear the word of Jesus. We when you're preaching Jesus, Jesus is the message of the center of the message. Jesus should always be the center of the message. Not I went to the store yesterday. Not I was at the hospital witnessing yesterday. I was driving down the road and swerved because a man ran out in front of me. Jesus should be the center of the message. And when Jesus is in the house, when Jesus is in the center, when Jesus is the message, then the Bible is telling us, amen, there will be so many gathered that there won't be enough room to receive them. Won't be enough room. It just won't be enough room. Why? Why? Because the word brings healing. The word brings deliverance. The word brings change. The word brings edification. The word brings motivation. The word brings miracles. The word brings manifestation. The word, it changes lives. So he preached the word unto them. And there were so many, they couldn't even get in the door because he was in the house. And then the third verse tells us, it says, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. Somebody ought to say dedicated faith, dedicated faith, dedicated faith, dedicated faith. Dedicated faith. There was one that was sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. So here's a man that is laying on a stretcher. And he have four friends that is carrying him. And they couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd. And I just want to stop and pause here because this is the heart of the message, dedicated faith. A lot of times we're trying to reach our destiny. We're trying to reach our goals. We're trying to get to the place in our minds that we think we ought to be in life. We're trying to get to the next level. We're trying to go to the next dimension. We're trying to move forward. We're trying to progress. We're trying to step up. We're trying to step out. We're trying to move to a new level in life. And we find ourselves not able to get there because of the crowd. Don't feel left out. Don't feel bad. Don't feel discouraged. Don't feel anguished. Don't feel mad. Don't feel upset. Don't get down on yourself. Amen. But you have to have that dedicated faith. You got to keep working toward that faith. And it doesn't matter whether you're poor or whether you're rich. You got to have that dedicated faith. Let me show you why. There was a woman that touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible says that the woman had spent all she had trying to heal herself. And she had been to many physicians and they could not help her. And in the process, she spent all that she had. She had no choice. She had nothing left. She had anything, but she made her way through the crowd. She pressed her way. And the Bible says that she got down and she pressed through the crowd. And she said, if I could just reach the hem of his garment, I know that I'll be made whole. Sometimes you just have to press your way. And in the same passage, right before the woman interrupted Jesus, there was a rich man that had came and he had pressed his way through the crowd to get to Jesus to cry out about his son, that was his daughter that was sick at home. And he came to Jesus. He had to press his way to the crowd. So it doesn't matter, my brothers and my sisters, or what you have or what you don't have. It doesn't matter where you're at in life, whether you're up or whether you're down. But it does matter that you continue moving forward. It does matter that you dedicate yourself. It does matter that you commit yourself to getting to Jesus. It matters that you commit yourself, you dedicate yourself, you press through the crowd. And sometimes I want you to understand that part of pressing your way through the crowd, amen, is not just moving in a direction, but sometimes it is understanding who you are in the middle of the crowd. Sometimes the crowd will tell you you can't do it. Sometimes the crowd will tell you you're not capable of doing it. Sometimes the crowd will say you want too much. Sometimes the crowd will say you think you all that and a bag of chips. Sometimes the crowd will say to you that you don't deserve it, that you don't have the smartness, that you don't have the ability, that you don't have the finances. Sometimes the crowd will say that you just can't do it. You're not capable of doing it. Sometimes the crowd. I often listen to a motivation and there's a saying that says there's the one way to kill your big dream is by telling it to a small-minded person. When you tell your big dreams to a small-minded person, they'll be the first ones to tell you, you can't do that. You're not able to do that. You can't accomplish that. So sometimes the crowd will prevent you from getting to where you want to go. Sometimes the crowd is not exterior, but interior. Sometimes you talk to yourself and say, I'm not capable of doing it. You have what they call the imposter syndrome. Hey, man, you don't feel like you can do it. You don't feel like you're able to do it. You don't feel like you're capable of doing it. You don't feel that you can do it, that you got the mind to do it, that you got the ability to do it. You don't feel that you have the strength to do it. You don't have the smartness to do it. Sometimes you're your own enemy. But you have to press your way through the crowd. You have to have that dedicated faith. Somebody ought to say dedicated faith. Yeah. Dedicated faith. You have to dedicate yourself regardless of what's going on, regardless what's going on inside, regardless what's going on outside, regardless what's keeping you out, regardless what's in your way, regardless of what the obstacles are, regardless of the mountains are, regardless of what's preventing you from getting the healing of your life that you need. You have to dedicate yourself, dedicated faith. That's the heart right there. And watch this. What I like about this is it says, and there come to him bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. So the man had four friends that was dedicated to getting him to Jesus. See, sometimes we can't get through life on our own. We need support. We need people around us that's supporting us. We need people around us that's willing to carry us. We need people around us that's willing to take us. We need people around us that's willing to help us. We need people around us. And those people that are around us need to be just as dedicated as you are. Watch this. Because if you got folks around you that's not as dedicated as you are to get you where you need to go, you are not going to get there. I'm trying to help somebody. If there was only two of his friends trying to carry him, it would have been a harder task for the two to carry the man than it was for the four. It was easier for the four than it would have been for two. If it was three, it would have been just as hard because one would have been on one end, two would have been on the other end, and it would have been difficult for the one that would have been on the end by himself. And if it was one, the man probably just might not have made it. Amen. But it is imperative that you set folks around you that can carry you, that can take you, that can love you, that can teach you, that can guide you, that can hold you up, that can take you and committed and dedicated with you to get you to where you need to go. What things that was written aforetime is for our learning. If we're going to make it to Jesus, if we're going to make it to our goals, if we're going to make it to our destination, if we're going to make it to our destiny, if we're going to make it to the next dimension, if we're going to make it to the next level, if we're going to make it, if we're going to get to Jesus, we need to be around folks that's going to help us to get there. Because these four men, not only did they recognize that they couldn't get through the press with their friend that was laying on the bed that was crippled and couldn't walk for himself, and they were committed, amen, not only for themselves, but for him, to get him there. It says, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and they had broken it up. So what they did was, and you have to understand their roofs, they didn't have terracotta clay roofs. They didn't have cemented tile roofs. They didn't have three tab roofs and with truss. Back in the day, they had wood beams, and then their roof was made of clay and straw that was hardened and then into tiles and then laid across those wooden beams, which was roofs. So they had the ability to go and move these tiles and rip up the roof to a place where they could let the man down into Jesus. Now, how did they get on the roof? Well, also a minute in this day, a lot of times they went on the roof to pray. And a lot of times they went on the rooftops to pray. And to get to the rooftops, most homes had stairs to get to the rooftop. So they was able to carry the man up the stairs to the rooftop and then take the tiles, these clay tiles, from the roof to allow the man to be lowered into where Jesus was. These men had to have some knowledge of how the architectural structure of the home was made, because they understood where Jesus was. I can imagine they knew what part of the house he was in, to be able to go to that area and then uncover that part of the roof. However, at the end of the day, they were committed. They were dedicated. They were dedicated to get this man to Jesus. They were dedicated. All four of them carried this man, not only they up the stairs, but they carried him up on the roof. And then they proceeded to work at getting this man to Jesus. And these are the type of folks I need around me. These are the type of folks that I need in my presence. These are the type of people that I need in my company. These are the type of people that I want to share with. These are the type of people that I want to commune with, to have a friendship with. People that are willing to go out of their way to make sure that we're going to get to our goal, that we're going to get to Jesus, that we're going to make it to our destiny. If we have to get on the roof and tear down the roof, amen, whatever it takes, we're going to do it as a team and do it as a unit. Amen. You ought to want the same thing in your life. You ought to want that in your relationships. You ought to want that in your job. You ought to want that in your career. You ought to want that in your home. You ought to want that in your marriage. You ought to want that type of relationship in your church. You got to be committed as a unit on what your destiny is, on the where you're trying to get to. Because if you do, if you have that dedicated faith, the Bible says they let down the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, when he saw how dedicated they were, when he saw how committed they were, he saw the work that they put in. Let me stop right here. Sometimes we have to put in the extra work. Sometimes we, faith without works is dead. Amen. If the men did not put the work in, amen, the man with palsy would have never gotten to Jesus. He couldn't walk. He couldn't do it for himself. He didn't have the ability to do it. Amen. But he had four friends, amen, that was committed to get him to Jesus. They put the effort in. They put the work in. They put the acknowledgement in. They put the, oh God, oh yeah, 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 yeah. They put the dedication of faith. And Jesus saw that faith. You know, I tell my sons all the time, God blesses those who are prepared to be blessed. You have to put yourself in a place of preparation to be blessed. When you want to be blessed, you have to, if you're trying to get a new position on your job and you want that blessing, your faith work is to prepare for that job. You have to act like you got that job. You can't wait till you get the job to learn about the job. You have to learn about the job before you get the job. You have to educate yourself on the position, what is necessary, what is needed, how to get it done. And when you learn, then you're blessed to get the job. And that's just an analogy on the job, but it's the same thing in every facet of life. You have to prepare yourself for a blessing. Some people say, I'm just sitting back waiting on the Lord. No, you don't sit back and wait on the Lord. You have to prepare yourself and wait on the Lord. You have to work and wait on the Lord. You have to, oh God, stretch out your rod to see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. You have to do something. Ah, yeah, yeah. Because when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, thy son, thy sins forgiven thee. Wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute, Jesus. The man can't walk and you worried about his sins. The man can't stand up and you're focused on the sin. The man just got let down in front of you by four friends. And your focus, that's the first thing you come up with, is the sins. This is what the scribes are saying. This is what the scribes are saying. Because the sixth verse say, and there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doeth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? In other words, they recognize the scripture. They know the Bible. There's folks that know the Bible. There's folks that know the scriptures, and they know it to the knowledge of what they have, but yet they don't understand it to what God is trying to develop us into. Yeah, 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 yeah. They knew the scriptures, and they understood that only God can forgive sin. So now they're saying, oh, this man is speaking blasphemy now. We got him now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's speaking stuff that he's moving out of his league. He's stepping across the line. He's going beyond where he's supposed to be going. He was doing good until he said, thy sins be forgiven. Only God can do that. Only God can do it. But they didn't recognize Jesus was God in the flesh. They didn't understand that Jesus was God in the flesh. Who can forgive sins but God only? Now, Jesus being who he was, it says, and immediately perceived in the spirit that they so reasoned within themselves. He said unto them, now, okay, he's having a conversation with two people. He just told the man, forgive the sins. Now he got to address the scribes, because the haters in the crowd. Every crowd that you in is going to always have some haters. Don't expect everybody around you amen, to love you. Don't expect everybody around you to be cheering for you. Don't expect everybody around you to try and is for you, right? There's always a hater in the crowd. There's always a Judas in the crowd. And Jesus being who he was intelligent enough and smart enough and spiritual enough to understand that and to know that. So now he's dealt with the inner issues of the man with the palsy. He wanted to deal with the inside first. He needed to deal with the inside first. It was important that he dealt with what was inside before he could fix what was outside. And sometimes we have to do that. And in the process of that, people don't understand what's going on because they're looking for the physical and Jesus is dealing with the spiritual. Some of y'all think right now I'm just dealing with the physical, but in reality, I'm speaking to your spiritual because you have to understand there are spiritual issues that affect you on the inside that reacts to your outside. And the reason that you don't get where you're going, the reason that you don't have what you want, the reason that you're not making it to the place that you're getting to is because it needs to be fixed on the inside before you can fix the outside. And a lot of times we're trying to work on the outside when really it needs to be the inside. Because once you get on the inside, and it will then reflect on the outside. The old saints used to say there's something on the inside working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Somebody ought to say it's on the inside. It's on the inside. It's on the inside. It's on the inside. So the scribes, they were looking for outer changes. They was looking for something on the outside. They was looking for something, a miracle. I mean, they was used to seeing the blind see. They was used to see the lame walk. They was used to seeing the deaf hear. They was used to seeing the dumb talk. And they just wanted to continue to see more of these physical miracles. But now here's Jesus doing something totally different. He's focused on the inside of the man. So they're saying, okay, now this man is going too far. He's saying something out of his league. He's committing blasphemy. He's speaking against God. He's trying to say that he's God. Nobody can do this but God. And they started criticizing him. Now they've been in the house all night. They've been in the house with Jesus all night, hearing him preach. And I'm sure he's done some miracles. I'm sure they've seen other miracles. And they was there. It was fine and good until he said, "Thy sons be forgiven thee." So now Jesus says to the scribes, to the haters, to the onlookers, to the ones that don't understand what's going on. Why reason ye these things in your heart? Why are you thinking this negativity in your heart? Why are you thinking this hatred in your heart? Why are you thinking this jealousy in your heart? Why are you thinking this backbiting in your heart? Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Arise and take up thy bed and walk." But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth, right here, to forgive sins. In other words, you don't have to wait to get to heaven to have your sins forgiven. You can have your sins forgiven right now. God has the power to forgive your sins right now. But you got to have some dedicated faith. God can forgive you right now. But you have to have some dedicated faith. The scribes wanted to see what was going on the outside. But Jesus was more concerned with what was going on the inside. And he forgave the sins on the inside. So it could affect the ailments that was happening on the outside. Now, let me say this. Sometimes sickness and sin coincide, but not all the time. Sometimes sickness is just a part of life, a part of aging, a part of the body decaying as we get older. But in this scenario, in this version, the sickness was a part of the sin. And in this case, Jesus knew what the problem was. See, when you go to the doctor can tell you what the symptoms are. But the doctor can give you medication, but they really can't give you the solution. But the man who breathed the breath of life and man became a living soul, the creator of the body, he knows where the problem is. He knows where the solution is. He knows how to fix it. And he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." He has the power to forgive the sins. And he stopped for a moment to stop talking to his haters. He stopped for a moment to no longer address those that are criticizing him. He stopped addressing what they were pondering in their hearts. And then he said, "I say unto thee, arise." He's talking to the paralyzed man now. "Take up thy bed and go thy way unto thine house." And immediately he rose and he took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God. Everyone that was in the house understood now that it took healing the inside so that he could heal the outside. And they were all amazed. Even the haters was amazed. The onlookers was amazed. The criticizers was amazed. You gotta have some dedicated faith. Because when you have the dedicated faith and you're working toward your goals, when Jesus speak to your situation, when Jesus speak to your sickness, when Jesus speak to your finances, when Jesus speak to your relationships, when Jesus speak to your career, when Jesus speak to your business plans, when Jesus speak to your church, when Jesus speak to your friends, when Jesus speak to your family, when Jesus speak to your situation, when he speak to your trials, when he speak to your tribulations, when he speak to your heartaches, when he speak to your pains, when he speak to your dilemmas, when he speak to your dangers, when Jesus speaks, yeah, they all will be amazed. Your friends will be amazed. Your foes will be amazed. All will be amazed. Amen. And when they see it, it says, we never saw it on this fashion. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. I want you to know today, amen, if you have that dedicated faith, Jesus made it possible for you to have some dedicated faith. When he went to the cross, he had some dedicated faith. When they nailed his hands and they nailed his feet, he had some dedicated faith. When he hung there from the sixth to the ninth hour, he had some dedicated faith. And when he gave up the ghost, he had some dedicated faith. And on the third day, he got up with all power in his hands. It was because of his dedicated faith. And now he's sharing that faith with you and I. We got to have that dedicated faith. We got to believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We got to believe that he's intercession for us today. We got to work toward the faith. We got to live in the faith. We got to walk on the faith. We got to be in the faith. And if we dedicate ourselves to the faith, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, we've never saw it on this fashion. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Dedicated faith. You got to have some dedicated faith. Dedicated faith. Dedicated faith. Dedicated faith. Dedicated faith. Jesus will help you when you prepare yourself for the blessing. You dedicate yourself in faith. Jesus will speak to your situation. Sometimes it may just be the outside, but oftentimes it will be the inside that will affect the outside. I'll say it again. Something's on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Let us pray. Most Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we come, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we magnify your holy name in this place. God, we know that you're in the house. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And we know that your word is being delivered, God. And there are some that may come but can't get to you because of the press. They can't get to you for the obstacles. But God, we know, oh, God, if they just dedicate themselves, God, they can get to you. Oh, God, they can make their way to you, God. And when they do, God, you will see their faith and you will bless them in their faith. And God, you will anoint them and give them the desires of their heart. Oh, in the name of Jesus, God, we pray now, God, that you just continue to bless each and everyone that are listening. Oh, God, and we ask, God, that you elevate them in their life, oh, God, as they dedicate their faith to you. In the name of Christ, we pray, amen and amen. Amen. If you've listened to the message on today and you are in a place where you are dedicated to moving forward in life, you are dedicated to a better life, you are dedicated to leveling up in life, you are dedicated to getting your healing. Sometimes you got to go up on the roof and get let down to get your blessing. Amen. But I promise you, if you lie in the feet at the feet of Jesus, the blessing will take place. You just got to dedicate yourself in your faith. Amen. Pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me, for I am a sinner. And Lord, I believe that your human yet you are divine. And I believe that you was born of a Virgin Mary. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe you ascended into heaven, making intercession for me. Lord, save me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, the Bible declares that you are saved. Amen. The Bible simply says if you confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart that you're saved. You don't have to jump over benches. You don't have to receive a prayer cloth and ship off money and all those things. All you got to do is confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. I'm going to tell you to continue to grow in His grace. Amen. And finally, amen, we come to our time of offering. We pray now for those that give that give and continue to give. We praise God for you. We bless you that you continue to help with this ministry. I announced earlier and at the beginning that the website and the streaming service platform that we're now on will be discontinued in about 8 months. We will, in the next 4 to 6 months, will maybe sooner than that, but at least in the next, by the next 6 months, we will probably have a new platform that we can continue to bring these services. We ask that you continue to pray with us as God lead us to do so. Amen. And the links and things should be the same, should stay the same, but it will be a different platform, and we'll see how God blesses us to do that. But until that time, we pray and we thank you for helping us and partnering with us and keeping us in the ability to do what it is that we do. Thank you so much for your blessings. Ways to give: you can go to triumphlifechurch.org/give, or you can text the word give 786-638-5771. Or you can scan the QR code with your phone. Also, you can cash out Triumph Life Church or Zelle Give at triumphlife.org. Let us pray. Most Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that have given, that continue to give, and partner with us as we partner with you, O God, to do the work and do the mission of you, to spread your word to the far corners of the earth, to go in the streets and the highways, go to the uttermost parts of the earth and compel men and women to come. God, we thank you for that blessing, God. And we ask, God, that you continue to bless them, God. Pour out a blessing out of the windows of heaven so much till they cannot receive it. Let their cup runneth over, God. Bless them. Magnify it. Multiply it multiple times, oh God. Oh God, bless them in their finances, in their health, in their home, in their life, in their, oh God, and their jobs, their careers, their businesses. God, bless them in a mighty way. God, we thank you now. We praise you now. We glorify you now in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. We thank you for visiting with us today. We hope something that was said will bless you, bless your heart, give you the strength and the mindset to dedicate yourself to reach where you're trying to go, and don't allow any crowd, inside or out, to stop you from achieving the goal that God has placed on your life. Dedicate yourself. Have that dedicated faith. God bless you. We love you. And benediction. May our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Can you give our miracle worker a hand tonight? Oh, come on, listen. I said the miracle worker. Healing is being released. Look at your